Welcome to the AgeTurners.com podcast, a podcast provided to help you be a part of the generation that ends this age. In this installment, Brother Ricky Acosta explores the relationship between loving the Lord and confessing our sins and our fellowship with Him.
In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verse 47, the Lord Jesus says, "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, because she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, he loves little." From this verse, we can see that there is a direct relationship between the matters of loving the Lord and being forgiven by the Lord. For the last several weeks, we have been emphasizing this matter of having a set time of fellowship with the Lord. And last time, we spoke about the matter of loving the Lord, how we have to tell Him first thing in the morning, "Lord Jesus, I love you." And throughout the day, even 100 times a day, we should tell Him that we love Him. In today's broadcast, we'd like to spend a little time to look into the relationship between these few matters of loving the Lord, confessing our sins, and having a set time of fellowship with the Lord. In this account, in Luke chapter 7, the Lord Jesus is invited to the home of a Pharisee named Simon. And in the course of their time together, the Lord Jesus tells this man a little story of a man who is a moneylender with two debtors. One owes him a certain amount, which actually is not that small, and the other one owes him a great amount. And it turns out that both of them are not able to repay their debt, but the Lord forgives them both. So then, after telling this story, the Lord asks this Pharisee, "Which of them, therefore, will love him more?" And this Pharisee, Simon, answers, "I suppose the one whom he graciously forgave the more." And the Lord, of course, tells him that he's correct. So this shows us the principle. The one that is forgiven more loves more. We may not usually link these two matters of loving the Lord and confessing our sins or being forgiven by the Lord. Usually we consider that loving the Lord is a matter of our emotion, of our heart. And that is true. But we do have to take care of this very important principle that we see here. Loving the Lord has a direct relationship with our confessing our sins and being forgiven by the Lord. We can also see this in the book of 1 Timothy, in chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5, where it speaks about God's economy. Then it says that the goal of the charge, or the end of the charge, is love out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and out of unfeigned faith. I'm pretty sure that if we were to ask you, where does love come from? Not too many of you would say that love comes out of a good conscience. But that's what it says very clearly here in the book of 1 Timothy. If we want to love the Lord, it's not only a matter of stirring our heart and telling Him that we love Him. If we want to love the Lord, we have to maintain a good conscience. On the AgeTurners.com website, we've posted there a set of guidelines that are intended to help you to establish your set time of fellowship with the Lord. And there you'll find 7 points or 7 steps. And one of these 7 steps is the matter of confession. In order to establish a good time of fellowship with the Lord and to maintain that fellowship, it is crucial that we take care of this matter of confessing our sins. In Psalm 66, 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord did not hear." That shows that as we're trying to have fellowship with the Lord, we pray to Him. But if there is sin in our heart, the Lord does not hear our prayer. if we want our prayers to be effective, if we want to really contact the Lord through our prayer, we have to take care of the matter of confessing our sins. Also in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, it mentions something about our iniquities becoming a wall of separation between us and our God. We've mentioned in the past that as we're having fellowship with the Lord through our prayer and our prayer reading, often the Lord will shine His light on us and expose some sin. This is a very positive thing, and it shows that we are entering into fellowship with the Lord, who is light. 1 John 1:7 says that if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Why is it that in the midst of our fellowship with the Lord, we need the blood of Jesus? That is because as we're having fellowship with the Lord, He is light, and He shines on us. He shines on our sin and exposes our sin. So as soon as we have the sense or the remembrance of some sin, we should confess that sin and apply the blood of the Lord Jesus. When the light comes, brothers and sisters, we should not resist that shining. We should not argue with the shining or reason it away. And also, we should never, at this point, mistake the shining for the accusation of the enemy. This is the Lord speaking to us. This is the Lord trying to bring us into a deeper fellowship with us by removing the separation of sin that exists between us and Him. So you see, this matter of being exposed of our sin, of confessing our sin, is actually a very positive matter. The Lord Jesus shines His light on us with the very positive intention of removing the barrier of sin that exists between us and Him so that we can have a deeper fellowship with Him. I'd like to read to you a portion of a wonderful footnote in the Recovery Version of the New Testament. This is 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, and note 3, the last paragraph of this note. It reads, "In this section of the Word, there is a cycle in our spiritual life, a cycle formed of four crucial things: the eternal life, the fellowship of the eternal life, the divine light, and the blood of Jesus, the Son of God. Eternal life issues in its fellowship. The fellowship of eternal life brings in the divine light, and the divine light increases the need for the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, that we may have more eternal life. The more we have of eternal life, the more of its fellowship it brings to us. The more fellowship of the divine life we enjoy, the more divine light we receive. The more divine light we receive, the more we participate in the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Such a cycle brings us onward in the growth of the divine life until we reach the maturity of life." Brothers and sisters, this is very experiential. And this is why we have pointed out in the past that as you go through the seven steps of this program, A Time with the Lord, the guidelines, the matters of prayer reading and confession are very hard to separate. As we're prayer reading and enjoying the Lord in His Word, very often, in the midst of our prayer reading, the Lord will shine His light on some sin. Right there, we should confess our sins, not argue, not resist, not reason, but confess, so that we can have a deeper enjoyment of life. That is, we have life, we have the fellowship of that life, we have light, and then we have the blood. And the cleansing of the blood brings in more life. Now, this does not mean that you go to fellowship with the Lord with the intention of confessing your sins. That's not our goal. And that's not what we're focusing on. We're focusing on the Lord himself and our enjoyment of the Lord and our fellowship with him. But as we enter into fellowship with him, you may find that nearly every time you spend time with the Lord will shine his light on some sin. Then all we need to do is confess our sins. I love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, when he shines on our sins, all we need to do is confess. When we confess, we enter into a deeper fellowship with him. There are four additional verses that tell us what the Lord does with our sin when we confess. In Isaiah 38:17, it says, "You have cast behind your back all my sins." Before we confess, our sins are a barrier between us and him. When we confess them, he casts all our sins behind his back. In Micah 7:19, it says that he casts into the depths of the sea all our sins. In Psalm 103, verse 12, it says that he removes our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. And finally, in Hebrews 8:12, it tells us, "Their sins I shall by no means remember anymore." So you see, brothers and sisters, the goal of confessing our sins is not that we would be exposed or feel bad, but rather that we would be released and free from the burden of our sin, and also the separation between us and God would be removed so that we can enter into a deeper and sweeter fellowship with him. And spontaneously, we will love him more. Then, once we've finished our set time of fellowship with the Lord, we should practice Acts 24:16 throughout the day. "Because of this, I also exercise myself to always have a conscience without offense toward God and men." Our confessing our sins does not have to be limited to our set time of fellowship with the Lord. Whenever throughout the day we have some sense in our conscience that we've sinned, we should confess that right away so that we can maintain our fellowship with the Lord throughout the day. So we need to exercise ourselves to always have a good conscience before God and men. Brothers and sisters, once again, we encourage you, practice these things. Practice having a set time of fellowship with him. We hope that the guidelines that we've posted on the website are a help to you. And as you're spending time with the Lord, as you're entering into fellowship with him, when he shines his light on you, confess your sins so that you can enjoy more life. And the result, the spontaneous result, will be that you love the Lord more and you can tell him with a good conscience, "Lord Jesus, I love you." Once again, may the Lord bless your daily practice of fellowship with him. Lord Jesus, we love you. O Lord, make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For hturners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.